This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is truly a great opportunity for us. Bob Cabana in town to make a couple speeches today, and he's with us for the rest of the hour. He's a native of the area and graduated from the Naval Academy, served in the Marine Corps, retired as colonel in 2000. During his career, he logged over 7,000 hours, I repeat, 7,000 hours in 50 different kinds of aircraft. He's a veteran of four space flights. He's logged 38 days in space, and he's presently the director of the Kennedy Space Center. It is truly a pleasure, sir. I appreciate it. Tell people about where you just spoke and where you are speaking tonight.
Well, first off, Chad, it's a real pleasure to be home in Minnesota and be able to share with the folks in Minnesota here on CCO what's going on at NASA and our future in space. But I have one question. You're not going to make me sing, are you?
Are you a Pretenders fan or a Journey fan? Like, if you could see – okay, how about this?
Oh, I like them both.
You like them both. If you could – how about this? Tell me the last concert you saw.
Oh, gosh. I can't – it was Brad Paisley.
Brad Paisley?
Yeah.
Would you like to sing a little Brad Paisley
no,
for us?
No, we're not going to sing. So I just finished giving a talk at the Minnesota Economic Club luncheon, sharing with all of them what's going on at NASA, what our future is. I kind of focused on KSC a little bit because that's my experience right
sure.
now. I'm currently the director down at KSC, have been for 11 years, made the transition from Shuttle to the Future. But what I really want to get the message out is that the Artemis program. You know, I'm a product of the Apollo generation.
Sure.
And half the population of the world wasn't even alive back then. And I think it's time that we had a new program to inspire the next generation of explorers. And what would be better than Artemis? Artemis, the twin sister of Apollo. We've named our program that we're going back to the moon with Artemis. And we have been challenged to put the next man and the first woman on the moon by 2024. And we're going to try and make that happen. Right now at the Kennedy Space Center, we're preparing all the facilities to support the launch, the processing and launch of the Orion spacecraft on top of the Space Launch System. We're looking for an uncrewed test flight of that vehicle, 21-day flight around the moon in probably early 21.
Okay.
And then with a crew around the moon in 2022 and actually getting the crew down to the surface of the moon utilizing Gateway, an orbiting platform around the moon with a lander and a habitability module in 2024. And this is a real program. We have real hardware. It's not a paper rocket. We are making this happen. And the neat thing about it is when we go back to the moon this time, we're not going alone. We're going in partnership with our commercial partners and our international partners, and we're going in a sustainable way, not a 2 or 3 day camping trip like Apollo, but to actually stay there for an extended period. And we will utilize the Gateway to have access to anywhere on the lunar surface, not just the poles. So I think it's a really exciting time. The rocket itself is at the Michoud facility in Louisiana, and they're installing the engines on it right now. By the end of the year, it's going to ship over to the Stennis Space Center in Mississippi, where it will do a green run test, a full firing in the B-2 test stand there, and then it will be shipped to Kennedy for processing and launch. And I can't wait to see that big rocket at KSC.
Why are we going to the moon again? Of all the challenges and all the unique opportunities to take brilliant people like you, why is this the location first when we're kind of reinvigorating and getting the country once again behind this?
Well, first off, the ultimate destination is Mars. And the moon is a stepping stone to Mars. And the sooner we get to the moon, the sooner we can go on to Mars. The International Space Station has been an outstanding engineering testbed for the systems we need to keep humans alive in space. But we need to perfect those systems, make them even better, and then use them in operation in deep space away from planet Earth. And the moon, if something goes wrong, you're 2 or 3 days from home, as opposed to a Martian mission where it's 1.5 to 2 years on a Martian mission. You could be a year from home when you have problems. So we want to ensure that we have very reliable systems. We want to be able to do in situ resource utilization, utilize what we have on the lunar surface to extend our time there. And we actually have a lot more that we can learn about the moon. But primarily, it's preparing us, developing those systems we need to be successful when we do go to Mars. And studies I've seen say you have to have like 14 to 18 metric tons of supplies and equipment pre-staged on Mars before you can send humans to keep them alive. Mm.
Okay, you alluded to this before, this partnership that is taking place right now between private companies, very successful entrepreneurs, and NASA. How is that going to work? How is that going to intersect over the next 4 years with this great mission coming up?
Well, first of all, it's working extremely well at the Kennedy Space Center. We used to be a single government program space center supported by the shuttle program. Today, we have transformed to be the nation's preeminent multi-user spaceport, the world's preeminent multi-user spaceport. We have government programs. I have commercial programs. We have over 90 different entities that we have agreements with, 230-some agreements between commercial companies, academia, and other government institutions. We've got SpaceX operating off pad 39A,
yep,
supporting both NASA, DOD, and commercial missions. We've got Boeing building the CST-100 spacecraft for our commercial crew program there. Blue Origin is in Exploration Park, a research and development park that is on NASA property but outside the secure perimeter. Land that we've given to through enhanced use lease to the state of Florida, Space Florida, who has brought in Blue Origin, a OneWeb building satellites, Firefly, a small venture class rocket company. So we're working together utilizing the unique location that we have along with excess capacity and the engineering talent that is prevalent along the Space Coast for a successful program. And it's not commercial space or government space. The two have to be integrated together if we're going to be successful
as a nation.
That's what I asked.
So you don't have inherent challenges that maybe in any way are a detriment to this collaboration when what the private entrepreneurs want to do, what they believe in their own data, and how that works with the Kennedy Space Center.
So we try to work our agreements such that, for example, prior to the shuttle program ending, to operate out in Launch Complex 39, my safety and mission assurance folks had a document that had 2,200 shell statements in it, what you had to do to operate there. And a shell statement, a requirement, costs money. And I challenged them to scrub it and say, what are real requirements and what are best practices? And they scrubbed it. Now, if it's a pure government operation, there's like 500. If it's a joint government commercial facility, we got about 295. But if it's a pure commercial entity like SpaceX operating within the bounds of Pad 39A, where we're not involved, there are 55 shell statements now that they have to meet to operate their government requirements.
Yeah, because very different.
I don't have to tell them how to meet OSHA standards or, you know, FAA standards. They have to meet those regardless on their own.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. And then we are buying a service from them on the commercial crew program, but we have to certify it. So we're working together. We're very much involved with our engineers on helping certify these vehicles. But then we're not going to own the vehicle. We're just – it's like Uber to space, you know, with Boeing and SpaceX. We'll just buy a ride. And they own the vehicle. They're responsible for the maintenance and operation of it.
Bob Cabana's with us, astronaut himself, running the Kennedy Space Center here on CCO. When you're not traveling, when you're not in your old hometown, what is a typical day like for you?
A lot of meetings. In fact, I told folks I'd give anything to fly in space again. I don't care what the rocket is if it'll get me out of another meeting. But, you know, I try not to just go to meetings or have folks come and brief me. I like to get out within the Kennedy Space Center, actually get down where the work is being done and talk to the individuals on the floor, talk to them in their organization to better learn what's going on. But, you know, it's primarily, you know, I have a number of programs that I'm responsible for at KSC.
Yep.
And it's getting the information I need to help make them successful. Our goal at the Kennedy Space Center is not to have the best facilities, the best of every, you know, our goal is to make the program successful. Mm-hmm. The Exploration Ground System that's going to launch SLS and Orion, my launch services program that provides expendable rockets for NASA science missions, the commercial crew program that's going to get our crews to space. You know, if the programs aren't successful, we're not successful. So my goal is to ensure that I've got the right people and the right resources to help make the program successful.
I want to talk about your time in space when we come back. But did you ever think when you were in the middle of that you would want to transition to this type of role? and running the Space Center?
I'll give you an answer to that.
Yeah. Hang on. Let's get to Bob in a matter of moments. It's 1:46. That is the Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to make sure that your home is protected against drafty windows and doors. Use my friends with Andy Lindus and Lindus Construction. Bob Cabana with us, speaking already at the Economics Club tonight at the U. Again, this man has logged 7,000 hours, 50 different kinds of aircraft, veteran of 4 space flights. He's logged 38 days in space. So if I ask you this, what do you miss most about space? You would say what?
Looking down on the Earth from 200 miles high. It is just a blue jewel of a planet. It is so special. And, you know, you can see about 1,500 miles in any one direction. I was told first-time flyers, when you get up there, at some point you got to take 15 minutes for yourself, stick your nose up to the window and make a memory. Do not take a picture, because pictures don't do it justice. It's so much better what you see with the eyes God gave you and the memory that you'll have. And you look out, you see the curvature of the Earth and this thin little hazy line that's over the Earth. That's our atmosphere. That's all that's protecting us from that harsh void of space with its extreme temperatures and ultraviolet radiation. And space is the darkest black you can possibly imagine. It's the absence of anything when you're on the sunlit side of the Earth. But you look down on the Earth, and it's just it's beautiful. It's interesting. My first flight was a low-inclination flight. We launched due east out of Kennedy Space Center, so we never got any further north than 28.5 degrees or any further south than 28.5 south.
How rare is that?
No, that's pretty common.
Okay.
But then, like, the space station is in a 51.6 degree inclination. So you see much more of the Earth. My second flight was a classified DOD mission. We went up to – actually, we were up at 57 degrees inclination, so even more. My first flight, I saw the blue planet, like the IMAX movie, and it was tropical and the blues of the water and stuff. My second flight was in December, and – the way we were kind of on like Terminator a lot between night and day, but
yeah.
It was always saw us in northern hemisphere during the winter, and it was like a totally different planet. It looked cold and barren, and it's just interesting perspective. But in any case, it's absolutely beautiful.
Let's take a quick phone call from somebody I know who wants to chime in real quick. Dick Page from Champion Air. Dick, always good to hear from you.
Hey,
what do you want
Chad.
To say, sir?
Hi, Chad. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Absolutely.
What a pleasure. You and I will have to catch up at some point. But again, thank you. And Colonel Cabana, in fact, I'd like to say either Commander or Pilot Cabana, because I had the pleasure of watching you launch STS-88. And that was really an adventure. And just a sidebar note to that, a few months after that, you were out at the Mall of America greeting people. And I had my dad, who was a P-38 pilot, in World War II, he was with me, and he wasn't real well at that time, and you made an effort and energy to stop and chat with him for a few minutes, and it was really an honor. So on a sidebar for that, I've been listening to your conversation, and I just have to mention something. When you talked about looking out and seeing 1,500 miles and enjoying every minute of it, gosh, I sure wish we could convince kids and people traveling today that don't pull the shades down and respect every minute that you get looking out on your horizon.
Dick, so, really, really good points. I really appreciate coming in and the kind words. We'll our paths will cross soon, I'm sure, sir.
Okay, great. Sounds great.
What do you want to say to those comments?
Well, first off, you know, space inspires. It really does. And we got to create a new generation of explorers. And I get around and talk to a lot of schools. First off, Dick, I got to say, I remember talking to your dad out at the mall.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And that was really neat. But STS-88 was a phenomenal flight. But, you know, we got to get flying again. We got to get U.S. astronauts on U.S. rockets up to the International Space Station.
Why did it ebb? Why did we go through a period where it wasn't happening?
Well, first off, okay. The space shuttle program ended because Congress wasn't going to give us money to explore and $2.5 million a year to maintain the space shuttle program. Our budget wouldn't allow it.
Yep.
And we need to explore. We've been going back and forth to low Earth orbit for 50 years. We know how to do that. It's our job. We're transitioning that to the commercial entities now, and it's our job to enable that commercial market, but to go explore, to explore beyond our home planet, to establish a presence in our solar system beyond planet Earth. And that's NASA's goal. It's to explore, to go beyond. And I think we can develop a commercial market. It's going to take a while. Right now, the space station is the destination for the commercial crew program. We can have maybe a commercial module on the space station one day, but eventually I believe there will be small commercial space stations in space.
Can we exist on this planet for a long, long time?
We can.
Solely?
We can, but I would say, I like to quote John Young. John flew two Gemini missions, two Apollo missions, walked on the moon, flew the first shuttle mission plus another one, and he was chief of the astronaut office when I got selected to be an astronaut, one of my heroes. And John always said, single planet species will not survive. You know, at some point, there's going to be an event here that, like, took out the dinosaurs is going to come at us again. Yeah. And if we're not prepared to live beyond our home planet, we as a species will not survive. So I think it's critical to explore, to go beyond, to establish that presence beyond planet Earth. And for one thing, it's in our DNA. Exploration is in our DNA. Yeah. It's what we're all about.
Do you think, and right, obviously this administration has jumped on board. How much does it matter that we might have four more years of President Trump? We might have a different president. We'll find out that. It is still a major push by the administration to motivate all these factors that you've laid out in our conversation.
Well, first off, I want to point out that NASA and space has bipartisan support in both houses of Congress, and mm-hmm. that's critical. The House upped our budget. The president gave us a $1.6 billion amendment to his budget for us to be able to try and make this 2024 deadline. But we need that kind of an increase, not just in 2020, but that or more in 21, 22, and 23, and 24, if we're going to get there by 24, if we want to accelerate like we have done. But I believe we will continue to explore because this is what is required as a nation to be a world leader. We need to continue to lead in space, and it's critical to our future.
So I got about 90 seconds left. When you say it's critical to our future, why is it critical to our future?
Well, because great nations do great things. It allows us to lead in space. It keeps us a world leader. It brings forth the technology that we need to survive as a species. It helps us in so many ways. And I don't want to see us abdicate our leadership in space. I want to see us continue to be a world leader. And, you know, it's important that we also develop these commercial entities in space. So, you know, for me, it's a no-brainer. We need to continue to do this to be a leader.
Are we being challenged pretty strongly by other countries?
We are. You know, China's challenging us.
Yep.
You know, we're still leading.
Yep.
You know, Russia's got a great space program. But, you know, when we leave planet Earth, when we go to the moon, when we establish the gateway, we're going in partnership this time. It's going to be sustainable. We're not going on a single mission. We're going in partnership with our commercial partners and our international partners. Initially, it's going to be NASA and commercial entities getting things set up. But then our commercial partners are going to be a part of it also, and that's the way it's going to be when we leave planet Earth.
Sir, I thank you so much for your service.
Thanks
to this
having
country
me, Chad.
And everything you're still doing, because I don't get any sense you're slowing down whatsoever.
I'm not dead yet. I got a few good years left.
Thank you very much. Bob Cabana. Running the Kennedy Space Center, 38 days in space, and speaking multiple times today, speaking at the U again, and you can hear how much it means to him and what he thinks about how much this means to our country.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.